So yeah, first I'll read from Matthew 26, verses 36 to 46. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is as I will, but as you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour?" he asked Peter. "Watch and pray so that you will not fail into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." He went away a second time and prayed, "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away, unless I drink it, may your will be done." When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. Then he returned to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour has come, and the Son of the Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer." And I'll now read Habakkuk 1, verses 1 to 11. The prophecy that Habakkuk the prophet received. Habakkuk's complaint. "How long, Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen, or cry out to you violence, but you do not save? Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrongdoing? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and conflict abounds. Therefore, the law is paralyzed, weak to him in the righteous, so that justice is perverted." The Lord's answer: "Look at the nations and watch and be utterly amazed, for I am going to do something in your days that you would not believe even if you were told. I am raising up the Babylonians, that ruthless and impetuous people who swept across the whole earth to seize dwellings not their own. They are a feared and dreaded people. They are a law unto themselves and promote their own honour. Their horses are swifter than leopards, fiercer than wolves at dusk. Their cavalry gallops headlong, their horsemen come from afar. They fly like an eagle swooping to devour, they all come intent on violence. Their hordes advance like a desert wind and gather prisoners like sand. They mock kings and scoff at rulers. They laugh at fortified cities, by building earthen ramps they capture them. Then they sweep past like wind and go on, guilty people whose own strength is their God."
Everyone, Paul Cooper's my name. I'm the pastor here at Trinity Church in Campbelltown. It's great to see everyone here again. And let me add my welcome to Darren's. And especially if you're new or you're visiting, it's wonderful to have you here. Thanks so much for joining us this morning. You'll have a flyer there and a comment card, so it may not be that I get round to everyone, but if you do jot your contact details down in that and put it in the blue box, I'll make sure to drop your line during the week. Well, let's pray as we begin. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this book of Habakkuk, and we pray that you'd quiet our hearts now and you would give us ears to hear your message to us. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, this is a book that was written some time ago, obviously centuries ago, and it can be hard, can't it, to really get into the mindset of the author, in this case Habakkuk. Hard to get into feel sort of the reality of something that happened so long ago and so in such a different environment to ours. So I want to get us to try and sort of imagine something to try and help us get into the world of Habakkuk. Let's imagine you're in a church, which shouldn't be too hard, given that we're all in church this morning. But imagine you're in a church, but this is a church that's in South Korea. And imagine that it's in a period of time where there is huge crime, there's trouble on the street. Imagine you're in the middle of all of that, And you're just wondering, why God? Why have you permitted such a breakdown of law and order? Why do I have to live in the middle of such wickedness to God in prayer? And you say to him, how long, Lord? How long do I have to put up with this? I call for help, but you don't listen. How long do I need to cry out violence, but you don't save? And why do you tolerate it, Lord? There's no justice here for your people. And imagine that you get an answer from the Lord. Now, what would you expect his answer to be? Or what would you want it to be? Because you're asking him for the problems to stop, aren't you? You're asking for justice. You want life to be made right again. So what if his answer was, I'm sending North Korea. They're going to sweep across your country, causing devastation, destruction. They're going to advance like a desert wind and take prisoners like sand. Wouldn't be the answer that you'd be hoping for, would it? Once an injustice, and you cried out to God, you wouldn't expect the answer to be that a terrible, violent invasion is coming your way. That's the situation that Habakkuk is in, and it's relevant to us, actually. Now, it's unlikely many of us, I guess, have cried out to God and then faced an invading army. But I am sure that many of us have and are facing hard things, difficult things. Maybe injustice and violence, a little bit like what Habakkuk is talking about. But it could be other things that aren't the same as Habakkuk, but are difficult, horrible things to deal with just the same. And I'm sure many of us have cried out to God, like Habakkuk did, asking him for help and wondering, God, are you even listening? Why are you tolerating this? And why can't you do something about it? And what we'll see from Habakkuk is that God does hear. He does listen. But the answer might not be what we expect. It may not even be what we want. But Habakkuk will help us see that God does hear us. He is sovereignly in control. He is trustworthy. And he is worthy of patient faith, even when his answer to us is almost unbelievable. Well, just to set the scene, and he's, as I said, he's existing in this time of real trouble, real faithlessness. There's wrongdoing, there's evil, there's conflict. And he describes God's law, the Torah, God's law, as being paralyzed almost. It's being ignored. There's this huge faithlessness to God in the kingdom of Judah where Habakkuk lives. And so God says in verse 6, he'll raise up the Babylonians to invade. Now this is in the future tense, so we know that this is going to happen at some point in the future. And history tells us that it did, 587 BC. Now, if you remember a bit of Old Testament history, you'll remember that this is well after King Solomon, David's son. I wasn't sure how clear that would be, but hopefully you can read that. Well after King Solomon, David's son, the kingdom has split into two. So you've got the northern kingdom of Israel. They've turned from God and they were destroyed by the Assyrian Empire about 721 BC. But the southern kingdom in Habakkuk's day, that's still going. And they've had a number of kings over the years, some good kings, but more bad. And so lawlessness. And if you go back along the Old Testament timeline there, we know that Josiah, if you can see King Josiah there, he was one of the good kings. And if you look in 2 Kings, the Old Testament book of 2 Kings in the Bible there, he was one of the good kings, leading reform and leading his people back to God. But after him comes Jehoahaz, and then Jehoiakim. And both of those guys did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. So it's likely that Habakkuk, he's written sometime between Josiah, the last God-fearing king, and the Babylonian conquest. So somewhere around 600 BC is where this is written. And it's worth us looking at what is the injustice and the wrongdoing that Habakkuk is experiencing here. What exactly is going on there? Well, around that time frame, there was a prophet, I'm sure you'd recall, Jeremiah. an Old Testament prophet called Jeremiah around the same time frame. And what he recorded gives us an idea actually of just how far gone God's people were. Jeremiah 7 verse 30, he records that God's people are so far gone, they have turned so far from God, they sacrifice their own children. It says they've built the high places of Topheth in the valley of Ben-Homon to burn their sons and daughters in the fire, something I did not command, nor did it enter my mind, says the Lord. Now the other nations around Israel, around Judah, they used to do that, human sacrifice to their god Moloch. But these are God's people, and they are so corrupted, they're doing the same things, worshipping, found faithless to their God, and their whole society is corrupted, corrupted to the core, and doing detestable things, the worst of which is this, child sacrifice. Now God can't let that go on, can he? It's not right. And that's what Habakkuk is crying out to the Lord about. But of course God isn't unaware and he isn't going to let it go on. He sent prophets to Judah already. He's warned them about judgment. They've heard from these prophets. They've heard warnings of judgment. God actually has sent several prophets to warn them to turn back, turn away from their evil ways and turn back to God. And Jeremiah records that as well, chapter 35. He says from verse 12, then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah saying, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Jerusalem, will you not learn a lesson and obey my words? And he says again in verse 15, again and again I sent all my servants, the prophets, to you. They said, each of you must turn from your wicked ways and reform your land I've given to you and your ancestors, but you have not paid attention or listened to me. And he says in verse 17, listen, I am going to bring on Judah and on everyone living in Jerusalem every disaster I pronounced against them. I spoke to them, but they did not listen. I called to them, but they did not answer. They've been warned. They didn't turn back. And so now disaster. Conquest by Babylon. Just as God said to Habakkuk that it would happen. There in verse 6 on your outlines. Now I imagine when Habakkuk cried out for justice, this isn't what he had in mind. Now God describes the Babylonians. He's not unaware of what they're like. He describes them from verse 7. And then in verse 11, he describes them as guilty people. So what he's doing actually is using lawless and guilty people to bring judgment down on lawless and guilty people, isn't he? And by doing it, he's showing that he is in control. God is in control. And the Babylonians aren't being forced to do anything they don't want to do. They choose to conquer Judah. They want to grow their empire. But God shows he's across all of that. Babylonians exercise their free will, but God is quite capable of using it. Evil. And in this case, it's the judgment of the guilty people of Judah. Because God is a God of justice and faithfulness. He is a God of justice and faithfulness. And he's doing something about this injustice and all the wrongdoing that Habakkuk sees. He's just not doing it in a way that Habakkuk ever expected or ever dreamed of. And so God says, look at the nations and watch and be utterly amazed. I am going to do something in your days that you would not believe even if you were told. Just watch what I'm going to do, says God. Telling you wouldn't be enough. You wouldn't believe it if I told you, so just watch and you'll see how I bring justice to this situation. And these verses, it's worth noting, they're in the plural. So he's not just addressing Habakkuk. When he says, look in your days and you would not believe, he's addressing Judah as a nation. They've turned from God. So telling them what he's going to do wouldn't make them believe. They don't trust God. So says God, watch. Just watch and see that justice will be done for turning and living your own immoral, selfish and violent way. And history tells us that's exactly what happened. 587 BC, justice done. And so how do we make sense of all of this for ourselves 2,500 years later? Well, firstly, we should note Habakkuk here, he's a faithful man, isn't he? He's a faithful man. His tone in those first four verses may even be a little accusing, but he does turn to God in prayer. He does ask God, why is there so much wrong? And what are you going to do about it, God? See, when things get tough, often either pushes us away from God or it pushes us to him. And here Habakkuk shows that it's right to turn to God and to lean into God when times are truly bad, crying out to him. Because God does hear and he does listen. Just might not respond in the way or in the timing that we want him to. And we'll see as we get to the end of this book just how good it is for Habakkuk and his faith that he does turn to God the way that he does. And second, Habakkuk, he knows what God's like and it's good. And it reflects the character of God. And Habakkuk knows that. That's why he cries out. That's why he says, your law's not doing anything to stop what's going on, God. Your law is just paralyzed. It's almost useless. And what that shows us is that, see, laws need to be enforced, don't they? And when they're not enforced, well, by themselves, they don't do anything. And back in Habakkuk's day, the king was supposed to bring justice to the people according to the law. But he'd turned from God's way too. So God's law did nothing. And Habakkuk knows that's not God's desire. So he asks, why do you tolerate this? I know you don't approve, Lord. Why do you put up with it? And in Jesus, we are given all of those answers. See, Habakkuk, he knew what God's character was. He could tell from God's law. And we know God's character through his son Jesus. See, the crucifixion of Jesus in our place, that's God taking the punishment that belongs to us for not living his way. It's God taking that on himself. And at the cross is where we see God's character most clearly. Love and justice together. See, he took our punishment. That's penalty paid. Justice done. Because he did it to bring forgiveness and to give us a new desire to live for God as we turn and believe that he did it for us. And so that problem that Habakkuk sees in the law, it's dealt with through anything by itself to change you, but Jesus does. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. See, we're changed through faith in Jesus. And so we want to live for him in a new way, and in a way that the law could never do for us. And the Apostle Paul quotes Habakkuk when he's in Antioch and he's speaking to the Jewish people there in a synagogue. He quotes him in Acts 13. It says, therefore, my friends, I want you to know that through Jesus, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. Through him, everyone who believes is set free from sin, a justification you were not able to obtain under the law of Moses. Take care that what the prophets have said does not happen to you. And this is where he quotes Habakkuk. Look, you scoffers, wonder and perish, for I'm going to do something in your days that you would never believe, even if someone told you. That God's done. See, back in Habakkuk's day, the people of Judah, they were too hard and stubborn to see that God, sovereignly in control of the world, that he would bring their lawlessness to an end. And here Paul says God's done something far greater than that. Over the world's events 2,500 years earlier. Now God's brought salvation to the world. Forgiveness for lawlessness. Just believe that he did it through Jesus. If you're here this morning and you don't yet know Jesus as your Lord and Saviour, don't miss this miracle. When Jesus returns, he will bring forgiveness, but he also brings judgment. Those things go together. There is no forgiveness without judgment. And so he will bring both. Don't miss what he offers to you. You can come and ask me. You can ask whoever you came with. Or you could just read one of the accounts of Jesus' life, and they'll put a few copies of those on the back table there, on the vision table. Feel free to take one of those. But do something. Because as great as this disaster was for Judah, there is a much greater disaster in refusing the gospel of Jesus. And there is such a wonderful reward for accepting it. Don't miss what he offers to you. And for those who do know Jesus as their Lord and Saviour, well, we wait for Jesus knowing there's going to be times of distress and trouble. There'll be those times, but we know also that God does all of our world. And we know his character that he shows through his son Jesus. And we're comforted that he is in control. And we know that God will bring his plan to its completion through Jesus. Wrongdoing, injustice, fully and finally dealt with. But that we need to be patient in a world of violence and injustice and of difficult and horrible situations. That we must be patient. I was speaking with someone a little while ago who was telling me about a lady who was nearing the end of her life. Quite an elderly lady, and she wasn't in a situation with war on the horizon like Habakkuk, but she was suffering. She was suffering from the effects of old age, and no doubt many of the hospital staff would have thought perhaps it would be better if she would pass away quickly and there be an end to it, but she hung on for some time. And 2 hours before she finally did die, she repented and accepted Jesus as her Lord and Saviour. See, God is not sitting idly by. God is not sitting idle or he gets back to his plan. He waits with purpose. He waits with purpose. He wants everybody to come to repentance and to turn back to him, which is what it says in 2 Peter 3, and to turn back to him. See, we know the character of God displayed on the cross. And he displays it as well as he waits patiently for repentance. And that gives us great comfort in the middle of whatever trials that we face, that through it all, God's good purpose is being fulfilled. And so we wait. And as we do, we pray that in the time that's left, many would turn and be saved. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for Habakkuk. And for this reminder of your control over our world, your justice and your great love in Jesus Christ. And Father, we ask you to help us to trust you, whatever our circumstances. And Father, we pray that you would use us while you wait to bring people to know you and to be saved. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.